Geostigma, Genova, Reunion.
Does anyone actually know what any of those words really mean? Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Quarantine Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Geostigma, Genova, Reunion.
Does anyone actually know what any of those words really mean?
It means children are always the first to suffer.
I took a turn.
That's the trailer narrator.
I know. I remember the trailer for some reason.
That's how we first came across this movie. The movie we're watching today is Final Fantasy VII: Advent Children, because it played before several Godzilla movies, and that we owned. And it was like the newer ones, the Millennium series that came out in the early 2000s. Actually, I think it was before, I think it might have been before Final Wars, which came out in 2004, so it would have been like a year before this movie came out. So that sounds about right.
I think so.
Yeah, it played before that. And, I just remember the trailer very well.
But, indeed, with me as always, who understood the man talking, is Gus, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Oh, yeah.
Usually what we do is every week we watch a film, watch a film together, and then take to the pod to discuss said film, talk about what we liked, what we didn't, and then we submit that movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it, who would compose it, who would star, same film, different cast. Now, the audio quality, as some of you might know, may not be as great as normal. Usually we record in studio near each other, together in the same room. However, we cannot do that due to the quarantine going on as we have past couple weeks. So we are doing our best with what we have, which is some headsets. So hopefully you don't mind too much. And if you do, hey, go fuck yourself.
Don't piss off.
Yeah, exactly. So with that being said, this week, because Final Fantasy VII Remake came out this week, or this past week, we decided to, watch Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, a CGI Final Fantasy sequel to the PS1 classic.
Indeed. And have you ever played said game?
I have not. You have, though.
Oh, I certainly did.
Final Fantasy games are always a hard sell for me. Not to say that, I mean, they're right up my alley in terms of games I play. I just don't find myself playing them as much.
Yeah.
And when I do, I'm like,
Well, you liked Final Fantasy 15, which is a full 8 games after this one.
Yeah, but you don't have to play them in order.
No, and that's what always confused me, especially when I was younger. I'm like, oh, I'll never get to 7, because there's a whole slew of them beforehand.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would have to say what turned me on to the game was this movie, Final Fantasy VII, Advent Children. And we'll get into how we first watched it, but, yes, turns out this movie is actually a sequel to the game. And once I found that out, I borrowed the game and someone's PlayStation, and I was living at our grandmother's at the time in 9th grade, so this would have been like 2006, and I would just play that game. And I'm not good at RPGs, still am not. Role-playing games?
JRPGs are what those are.
Especially turn-based JRPGs, yes. But the world and the story and the characters and this, like, cyberpunk post-apocalyptic world that they give you, it was so interesting, and I just got sucked into the story, and I even played the remake, the demo of the remake that just came out this week, and I need it. I want my phone call and my game. And it just reminded me why I like this world so much. So yeah, that's kind of how I fell into Final Fantasy VII, and I played it to completion, but it was so long ago, I don't remember much about it other than it being extraordinarily difficult, especially the end. It's one of those, like, I beat this when I was younger. I don't think I could beat it again today.
Yeah, I mean, and with those though, those older JRPGs, the grind was real. Especially, I mean, that's still something that's around today. But I wonder, I do wonder though. I think if you did play it today, I bet you would do all right.
The old school one,
yeah.
Maybe I like I said, I played the remake demo, and I was breezing through it pretty well. But it's totally different. They remade that game from the ground up, made it an action RPG, so it's not like you're taking a turn, like, I'm going to attack, and that's like a little cutscene, like Pokemon. This is like you're running and gunning, and I like that. I haven't really experienced a game quite like that. Personally, I know you have, because it is like Final Fantasy 15. But there's a reason this game, Final Fantasy VII, is so celebrated. It's often regarded as the best in the franchise. Often, some people will consider the third one or the sixth one also up there.
Yeah. Sixth one, it's usually.
Six, yeah. But this one, much like Legend of Zelda did for Nintendo 64 and Super Mario did for Nintendo 64 and coming into the 64-bit era, this was the first Final Fantasy game to have 3D graphics, yes, but, pardon me, it also, the scope of this game was so massive. It had two discs. Like, there was a part one and a part two to this game because it was so big. And it did take forever, especially for back then, to beat this game. It was just long. So yeah, a game of this scope hadn't existed, and all the different lands you can go to, and all the different races of people, and their attributes, and their backstories was just so vast. It's in a lot of people's arguments for, like, one of the top games of all time. You often see it if you're looking at, like, a top 100 games list of all time. Usually it's up there. And I can just see why. Me personally, I don't know if it's up there. I like I said, I need to revisit it. It's been so long since I played it. I've drank a lot of booze since then.
Hey.
As we have all. As have we all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's a game that I've always wanted to play. I've always found myself wanting to go back to it. It's just a matter of, I guess I just never quite found the time, and I've always wanted, when I wanted to play it, I've wanted to give it, like, the proper, like, I didn't want to emulate it. I didn't want to necessarily play it on a PS1, but I would have to, like, buy it again. Like, I played it was Final Fantasy VI. I emulated, and I lost my save file, like, halfway through. You know, so I was, like, not going to do that again. And so I was going to buy it on Switch, but then this remake was announced. I'm like, you know, I'd probably enjoy it more, like you said, that style yeah. of...
Maybe.
As opposed to the turn-based. Although I love turn-based combat, I really do. Mm-hmm. I think that all in all, It's just so fluid. I think that Final Fantasy XV, one of the best things about that game was the combat. A lot of people said it was a little wonky for him. I think Final Fantasy XV's combat was some of the best parts of the game. So playing through that again, that style at least, where they had time to kind of refresh it with a story that's supposedly, you know, phenomenal, I was really looking forward to this remake of a classic.
Yeah, if you're ever looking for something to do and you just have some time to spare, you should download that demo and just try it out for free. But then you'll immediately go out and buy it.
Yeah, I got things to do.
And you know that's why I didn't buy it either. I know it's going to be a big game. The remake that just came out is episode one of a supposed 6-episode game. Because it's so big, and episode one is over 40 hours long, you know, it's going to be massive. So I wanted to commit to that game fully, but I have all these other video games on my backlist right now that I'm trying to mow through. I was like, I'll get to that game when it's time. I want to, like, you know, focus on that one. But now that it's out and people are playing it, and we watched this movie today, I'm just like, fuck, I should have bought it. So today, I was out getting groceries, and I was close to Walmart, so I'm like, oh, I'll slither in and maybe grab it, and it was sold out.
Hey.
I also had to run to Target, so I went there, and it was sold out. And then I looked online at another Walmart, and it was sold out.
You can just like, buy it on your PS4, though.
Yes, this is true, but I'm a physical media guy.
I want the whole
thing, especially with a game like that. So I regrettably made a poor decision, but you know, I'm playing Animal Crossing, so.
Hey, you can don't worry. Once GameStop's open back up, you can just stroll in there. They'll probably have a copy, at least a used one.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I mean, I did look on GameStop, and they do have it, you know, on there. You can get it delivered to you, as well as the deluxe edition. They still have that on there, but
the deluxe. I was gonna the life-size sword.
Yes, I was gonna ask you a quick question just about the game. Like, let's say you already kind of covered that you would probably prefer the newer version. Are you this type of person, though? I know some people who are like this. The older game that came out in 1997?
Oh, something like that. I got it. I'll look it up.
It is 97. They did recently release a combo pack, Final Fantasy VII and VIII, for the Switch. I'm not asking if you'd buy that, but would you play that game? As in, like, I was saying, I know people who are like this. Like, do the graphics, are they, like, too blocky and choppy for your liking? Like, could you still get into it? Or would you just prefer, you know, I'll just play the remake?
I mean, I would probably be able to play either or, because I'm a very story-driven video game player. As long as the story's good, I don't really care about the graphics. I mean, hell, I played all of Witcher 3 on the Switch. You know, that's like one of the most like beautiful looking games out there, and I played it on the worst possible platform.
Dog shit on that.
Yeah, in terms of graphics. So, but I still loved it. So it's all, you know, for me, graphics doesn't matter. Story does more so. So, yeah, no, I would play both. It's just, if I had the option, I would probably, and still be able to, I mean, that's the issue, because ultimately, you know, I like having, the reason I got Witcher 3 on the Switch was for portability reasons. I knew it was a big game. Like, this is a, Final Fantasy VII's a big game, in some aspects, eventually will be bigger than Witcher 3, and you know, I would want to take that on the go. So being able to have the story, and even though it's older version, that'd be a good trade-off. But Ultimately, I think I would like the newer, updated version with the extra stuff. And I feel like eventually, I know there will be the diehards that grew up with it and have that nostalgia with it, but I feel like eventually people will say that this is like the definitive way to play, unless they completely muck it up and do something weird in the later chapters, which is possible.
A lot of people are liking it so far. From what I played in the demo, like the voice acting threw me off because I'm so used to the movie Advent Children, their voice actors. So I was like, ugh, that's not Cloud.
Is the is it bad? Is the voice acting bad or is it pretty good? Because Square Enix,
I thought it was pretty good.
I've watched older things like Final Fantasy XII, hated it, and the voice acting was awful for most of the characters. Final Fantasy X, voice acting was awful for most of the characters.
I thought it was pretty good.
In my lifespan, I've tried Final Fantasy III, Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy X, and Final Fantasy XII, and XV, mm-hmm. and XIII, or not XIII, whichever one was online, XIV. And I've only beaten XV, and I dislike the others. I've tried. I just don't like. I can't get into them for some reason. Or another.
Yeah, I played, technically the first one I ever played was back in the day when we lived in Cook Forest, and our neighbor down the way, he had a PlayStation, and he had Final Fantasy IX, which was like, it was more like World of Warcraft, like that graphically, the way it looked,
yeah.
it played different. Nine's a little different than the other games. I didn't really play it. I just remember that. But, yeah, I've played 7, 8. I didn't get very far in 8. I was just so fascinated by 8 because of the opening cinema scene and that piece of music. That's about it. I think I, played around with 13 and 14. On PlayStation.
Did 2. I show you any of 15?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you showed me. I think you showed me the whole final battle again. You're fighting that guy in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
Mhm. And then you showed me, the end until it goes into credits. Yeah, it looks cool. These games always looked cool. And there's something about them that, draws people in. And that was the case. Right from the get-go with us, we saw this preview for this movie back in 2004 for this Japanese film. And it was CGI, it was animated. And back then, I'll even say still to today, back then, no CGI movie looked like that. Like, it looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, watching it today, I'm like, this still looks pretty great. And a lot of the action scenes still hold up.
Yeah, it's just one big, it's literally just one big, video game cutscene.
Yeah, kinda. So I was like, is this the software they use for this movie? Just what they use for cutscenes?
Kinda.
Because yeah, it looks amazing. So back in the day, watching the trailer and being like, we need to see this. Well, why don't you go ahead and regale the tale, and I'll fill in the missing bits, if there are any, of how we finally stumbled upon this movie physically.
Well, we were getting ready, if I recall, we were getting ready to go to Maryland. We were going to go to the beach, and it's a long trip for a younger children. It was, an 8-hour drive.
Total.
Yeah, total. And we were going to stop at our aunt and uncle's, but we would always rent some movies.
We'd pack a little TV with a built-in DVD player in the back seat.
Yeah, yeah. We had bought a one of those. It was like it plugged into the cigarette lighter and had an outlet in it. Yeah, and we'd have this little TV in between the two front chairs. Probably dangerous, but who cares? We watch movies. And we went to Video Warehouse, I believe, and rented. I don't know what else we rented. I know we rented this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then did we watch this the night before? Did we try to watch this the night before?
The night before we left?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I thought we I thought we got it on our way, and we watched it on the way.
I know we watched it on the way. I feel like we started it immediately, though, for some reason. Like, we got in the car, and, like, before we were even pulled out
no,
of
that's,
the driveway.
No, that's what I'm, we live in Cook Forest, so we had to drive through Clarion. I think we stopped at Video Warehouse, got it, and then we continued our drive to Maryland and watched it there.
I thought we got it the night before.
We could have. I don't remember. It's been a long time. But we rented this movie several times, so there's potential you could be confusing it with another time that we rented it and watched it,
there's potential you could be confusing it.
That's what I was going to say. There is potential that, yes, we could have rented it, went home that night, watched it, and watched it the next day, too, because I remember just being, like, fascinated by this movie, mainly visually and like the fight scenes and stuff and the characters, but I did not know what the fuck was going on.
I watched it and I was like, what the hell? I don't know what any of this means.
But that's what's so great, like we mentioned earlier, this is a sequel to the video game, but we didn't know that. If anything, I thought this movie was the movie based on the game, so what we were watching was what the game was about.
Yeah, and what's funny, though, is there's such, like, a sense of nostalgia that I find myself going back to this quite a bit. Like, I forget, it was a couple years ago that I was home, and I was just like, I'm just gonna watch Final Fantasy Advent Children for whatever reason, you know? It's like, doesn't really make any sense, but I find myself watching it every now and again.
It's not a bad one to fall asleep to, because...
because you don't need to understand what's going on.
Exactly. It's just kind of fluff. I was watching it today, and I don't know if it's because I watched the extended cut, which is a half hour longer, making it, like, over 2 hours long. But it's kind of... it is kind of boring. Like, the pacing of it is kind of boring. It's very slow. And a lot of people talking very quietly and very subtle music. Not very loud, bombastic music. A lot of, like, little sweet, simple stuff. And then when it's, like, an action scene, it's a little bigger, especially at the end. But there's a great fight scene in the church between Tifa and, I think his name, like, is Yazoo? The big lurchy guy.
Yazoo, yeah.
Yeah, I'm one of them. And, like, the music that's playing, now that I'm older and aware, it's music from the game. It's, like, battle music from the game, but it's done on a piano. So it's very, like, beautiful, and it's quick. It's quick music, but it's all piano. It's not like a full orchestra. So it's like, almost subtle. So it's really just – it really focuses on the punching and the swinging and throwing people. And there's an awesome scene that was using a lot of posters of Tifa getting thrown up against the wall. And as she, like, pins up against the wall, and, like, it goes, like, slow-mo, and all the flower petals is whoosh.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That still got me a little hyped today.
Like, yes!
Yeah. But other than that, it's kind of, like, I'll say, it's a little boring. So that would be why it'd be good to fall asleep to. But yeah, I have a lot of nostalgic memories of this movie, too. Just mostly visually. Like, I love the look of Cloud. He has that, like, cloak over his arm.
Yeah, if I'm playing Cloud in Smash Brothers, I usually go to this version of Cloud, because this is the version of Cloud I know.
And I think it's the superior one. I also do the same thing if I choose,
if I choose to try.
If I choose to play as Cloud, usually I pick random and I'll end up as Cloud or something. But if I choose to pick Cloud, I'll change his costume too. But the plot of this movie, as best as I can say, because it is confusing, is it's 2 years after the events of the game. And the reason we never picked up on that in the first place is because it says 2 years later, but it's in Japanese, and we didn't have subtitles on, so it's just Japanese characters, and we're like, okay.
To be 100% honest, it starts, like, 400 years.
That's true.
And then it goes, like, 498 years earlier. You're like, wait a minute.
It's like 500 years earlier. Then it's like 2 years later. Yeah.
What happened?
And then there's another game, Dirge of Cerberus, which is based in this world, too. That's 2 years after the events of this movie.
Okay, that had a badass theme, though.
Yes, it did. So, as you said, 500 years, you know, is where the movie started. That is the end of the first game. That's how the game ends, is with that shot. So, yeah, it's 2 years after the events of the game, and the world is kind of plagued with this stigma, geostigma. And it's created from the Mako energy that this corporation, Shinra, was pumping out back in the day, which our heroes had a hand in stopping. but this Mako energy is kind of poisoning the Earth because it was used from the Earth, and this company was basically sucking the life energy out of the planet and using it as an energy source. And that's kind of what our boy Sephiroth, the main villain, his plot was to absorb this energy and use it to, I'm trying to remember, man, bring down this like meteor.
Yeah.
That was gonna destroy the planet, and he was gonna like just kind of remake the planet in his image, kind of deal. So this Mako energy, some people theorize that it's actually Sephiroth, because at the end of the game, the first in the game, when you defeat Sephiroth, he kind of disintegrates into the life stream of the planet. So he's like, he's kind of one with the planet or something. Well, they say it in the movie that he's...
Would you say that he's one with the Force and the Force is with him?
Kind of, but he's definitely Sith. And, yeah, so the stigma is basically killing people off, and our boy Cloud, our hero, he also has this geostigma, because he's made of this Mako energy, because he's technically a clone.
Of Sephiroth.
He's a failed attempt, because that's what drove Sephiroth to be straight foe, was... he was in this world. There's these things called soldier. They are like an elite class of warrior. And Sephiroth was the best of them. And he found out that he's actually a series of clones of Sephiroth. And he was made from Mako energy that came from... also, like, fused with cells from this being called Genova, which was an alien life form that came to Earth thousands and thousands of years before to destroy it, but was stopped. And now they're using her...
This is why people are like, Final Fantasy's confusing. And people are like, no, it's not. Let me explain it to you. And then they explain it, and you're like, this is confusing.
And I'm like, it's taking way too long to explain it, because you have to explain this, and you have to explain that. And it's too big. It's too big.
You're like, it's good, I promise.
so you're following along, you're up to speed here, and these cells from Genova and this Mako energy was used to create Sephiroth. And when he finds that out, he goes insane, and he kind of rejects humankind and wants to destroy them and become a superior being like his mother was. So ultimately, yeah, he's defeated, and yes, Cloud was a failed clone of Sephiroth. And what's great about his character is, and I won't get into this, but is his backstory with like a friend of his who was in Soldier, and then his like relationship with Aerith from the game, and they kind of play a hand in this movie. But damn it, yeah, without knowing that and just seeing them in this movie, you'd be like, what's going on? And even with knowing that, I'm still like, what's going on? Because there's just too much to know.
Yeah.
So yeah, the world is plagued by geostigma, which is created from this energy, right? And it could be Sephiroth, who's like brewed it. He brews it, Coral. And there are these three hooligans who are also failed, or maybe not failed, but they're just modified clones of Sephiroth. They're on the hunt for Mother and Genova. Their brother. Yeah, Mother is obviously Genova, their brother is obviously Cloud, and they want to resurrect Sephiroth, basically. They want to find Genova so they can bring Sephiroth back to life. And that's the gist of the movie. There's a little subplot with the stigma and these children that the villains use the children to basically carry out their villainous schemes, and they need their, you know, I don't know, their life force and the stigma to also resurrect Sephiroth. And there's a lot of like action scenes in between here, and our characters are trying to rekindle their friendship, and a lot of them from the game come back in the final battle, which is cool. And in the version I saw today, there's actually a lot more of them, a lot more action scenes with them when they're fighting that big
behemoth
wing dragon of Raw thing.
Bahamut, I think. I don't know. It's in like every JRPG ever.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie is very confusing. You have to either do a lot of research or play the whole game, which is also a lot of research.
Yeah, or both, and
yeah.
probably both. And play the game and research.
That's me trying to recall the game as best as I can, and there's a lot more to it, and there's probably some things that fucked up, but these Final Fantasy tryhards out there, they'll let me know.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, you watch it too, and you're like, you watch this movie and you're like, all right, Tifa and him are an item. But then you're like, wait a minute, are they? And then you look it up and you're like, no, they're not. But it seems like they are.
Mm-hmm. Or are they? They're like childhood friends.
Yeah.
So there's like an unsaid thing. It's like Mikasa and Eren Jaeger.
Hey, calm down.
Maybe not as pure as that. But
they are. It was confirmed.
Yes.
Canon.
I had to Google something after I watched this movie. I was like, is Tifa and Barret a thing? Barret is this
Barret.
Large guy with a Gatling gun for a hand.
Yeah, hell yes.
Because he comes swinging in, and he's talking about Marlene, his daughter. And the whole movie, you think that Marlene might be Tifa's daughter? Because they kind of look the same, and she's always there. With each other, and then when Barret swings in, he's like, where's my girl? And she shows up, he's like, go to mama. He goes to Tifa. I'm like, wait a minute. But I guess Barret was friends with Marlene's parents, so he adopts her, but he's away all the time doing, he's an eco-terrorist, so he's off doing business.
He's off releasing the kaiju.
Yeah, and so Tifa just, like, watches over her as, like, a guardian.
Yeah, they're both adopted of parents, pretty much.
Kinda. But, yeah, I had to Google that. I'm like, are they a thing? But, yeah, they're not. But, yeah, this movie ultimately culminates with our main bad. What's his name?
Kadaj. K-A-D-A-J.
He wants to find Mother and resurrect Sephiroth, main foe bad from the original game, and he does so. He absorbs Genova's head and becomes Sephiroth and some pretty hype shit. Because when Sephiroth comes back and that music kicks in, my penis is like Sephiroth's sword, long and thin.
I listened to that whole, I was on a run the other day, and you sent me that clip, the music from the remake, the Sephiroth, One Winged Angel, and I was running, and I'm like, listening to it, I'm like, you know what, this isn't kicking, like, I like the one from the movie much better, and so I shut it off, and I got back to my apartment, and I looked, and I was like, oh, he said listen to like five minutes in, I listened like 3 minutes in, I was like, all right.
Yeah, you listen to the whole thing. And don't start at five whatever minutes in. Listen to the whole thing, and then when five whatever.
Yeah, oh no, I went back and yeah, I listened to it. I'm like, all right, there it is.
Yeah, then it gets like, holy shit.
Yeah, indeed, it was a lot more memorable.
Yeah.
And Sephiroth is up there, most iconic villains of all time. Cloud's up there, most video iconic games, protagonists in video games. I won't spoil it for anyone, but I mean, it's pretty obvious. But Final Fantasy VII is acknowledged as having one of the most impactful moments in video game history. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it has that moment, has very memorable characters throughout, and it's a very beloved game. And so to see them, instead of making a sequel video game, making a movie, it's kind of a refreshing change of pace, I guess. It's something that I wouldn't mind seeing done more often.
Yeah.
Maybe instead of doing, you know, we always wonder, like, why can't they make video game movies work? What if they just did a sequel to a video game as opposed to, you know, that mm-hmm. way they have something, they don't need to be like, for those of you who don't know these characters, here it is. You could be like, yeah. For those of you who don't know these characters, how about you pick up a game?
Right.
Kind of deal. I mean, that's just a thought. I don't think you see that necessarily as much as you could.
Yeah, they don't. I think only Final Fantasy has done it. They've done it with this, and didn't they do it with 15?
Yeah, they had. It was like a prequel. It was like Kingslayer.
Kingslave.
Yeah, it was a prequel, I believe. That game. I beat that game. I don't know what that game was about. Like the game ended, and I was like, yeah, I was very confused.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt describing the plot to both Final Fantasy VII and Advent Children while, like, on this podcast. I was like, wait a minute, I'm confused, and I'm telling the story.
Like, no, that's stupid. It's stupid.
Oh, man.
But if you're a fan of VII and you haven't seen Advent Children, I'd say watch it. And if you're even remotely interested in, you know, VII, or you've watched, like, a playthrough on YouTube, or, you know, you watch someone do a playthrough on Twitch or something like that, I'd suggest watching Advent Children, just if you're a fan of, like, video games in general. It's a fun watch to see these characters. You'd be confused, but now you've listened to us, so you know what it's about.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're an insanity wolf, you just go in blind and watch it like we did.
Yeah, but we were young, so it was gonna be good no matter what.
Yeah.
We watched Godzilla's Revenge when we were little.
We have death wishes.
Yeah.
But let's say this movie was made, yes, in CGI. What if it was made in live action?
I thought you were about to say yesterday. What if this movie was made yesterday?
Who would star in it? Yeah. Who would direct it?
Yeah. If it was, so this, yes, obviously this film was CGI, but yeah, let's imagine if it were live action. So this is the portion of the show where we take the film we just watched and we submit it to the factory. That's where we take said film and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, same story, same everything, just different cast and crew for the modern booking. So with that being said, and this is live action, so obviously this hasn't been done live action before. Today we'll be doing director, composer. We'll do Sephiroth, Kadage, Tifa, and Cloud. So for your director, who do you have?
I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, but Hideaki Anno.
That's who Hideaki I have as well.
Oh, really?
Shin Godzilla director? Well, co-director.
Director from Shin Godzilla. He also was the creator of Neon Genesis Evangelion mm-hmm. and the Evangelion franchise. Yeah, he's a very visual director. I liked how he handled the source material of Godzilla and Shin Godzilla. He has an anime background, and there's something to be said.
He's an artist. He's a Japanese artist.
Yeah, there's something to be said about just like that style and just visually what they'll bring to the table. And bringing the world of Final Fantasy to the big screen is going to be a big task. They've tried before. So I think he's the right guy for the job.
The only thing I would like to add to that, if it's okay with you, is adding the storyboard artist for Shin Godzilla, who also co-directed it, which was Shinji Higuchi, who's storyboard artist. Usually he's a special effects supervisor, but also he's best known in the West over here for his work in the Gamera 90s trilogy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I just watched those.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he directed them or if he was just a producer, though.
Give me one hot second. I have them sitting right here. One sec.
That's perfect. Dead Air is the best thing to do. Maybe he was in the art department.
Let's see here. Well, of course it doesn't say on the back of the DVD case because it has all three movies on there.
Oh, there it is.
Hey, Dad's calling me, which means he's going to call you in like 5 seconds.
I believe it. It's so odd because all it says is known for his work on Shin Godzilla, Kill Bill Volume 1, and Gamera Guardian of the Universe.
Garden of the Universe.
Garden of the Universe and...
You gotta stop Googling. Go right into their IMDb.
I am in the IMDb. I don't see anything. He's in the art department. Is he a writer? He helped write Evangelion. Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Maybe he's just there.
He did special effects. He was special effects director on all the Gamera movies. He was special effects director on Godzilla GMK, which is my favorite, and Return of Godzilla as well. And Godzilla 1985. He was an assistant. So he's got his hand in special effects, I suppose.
That's a trick question, because Return of Godzilla and Godzilla 1985 are the same movie.
Oh, shit. But, I want him on board as well.
Yeah, well, might as well. And, I'm just guessing you and I have the same composer as well.
Shin Godzilla's composer?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Shiro Sagisu?
Either that or Sagusa. I wasn't sure.
Sagusa would be Sagusa.
Yeah, composer of Shin Godzilla, but Shin also Godzilla. Neon Genesis Evangelion. He did a lot of animes. Bleach. He did Magi, The Labyrinth of Magic. He did the Attack on Titan live action films, both of them. Yeah, so he's pretty prominent in terms of, I guess, the style of what we would be going for, which is an anime-esque style. So.
Right.
Easy as that. Well, and then we get into our actors and actresses here. Who do you want to cast first? Tifa? You want to do Tifa first?
Yes, do Tifa. All
right, who you got for Tifa?
Another name I'm going to struggle with, but it's Chiaki Kuriyama. She is famous for being in the film Battle Royal, and she's also Go-Go in Kill Bill.
What was her last name? Kuriyama?
Kuriyama, yeah. K-U-R. Kuriyama. Yep. So she's pretty well known for doing some of the action stuff, especially like what we've seen in Kill Bill. And have you ever seen Battle Royal? Battle Royal?
I haven't, but played PUB.
Yeah, so it's basically like Hunger Games on steroids.
Yeah, it came out before Hunger Games, correct?
Yeah, it came out in 2000.
Yeah, 2000? Don't a lot of people speculate that it was stolen?
Yeah, I think it came out before the books did, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, concept maybe, but story, nah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's who I got as my Tifa there. You looking her up? She look familiar at all?
Yeah, I know. I mean, we just watched Kill Bill last year, so definitely seen her kick some ass. I went with Chloe Bennett. That's her professional name. Her real name is Chloe Wang. She's an American actress, Chinese descendancy though, so Asian descendancy. She is one of the main characters in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know if you've seen her before. She kicks. I've watched a couple episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before, and the reason that I went with her, she plays Daisy Johnson Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The reason I went with her is she kicks a lot of ass in the show. She's just like, cause Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. obviously not really too many superpowered kiddos in that show. However, she's definitely got the choreography and stuff in that show is pretty good. I mean, it's a Marvel show, but she is one of the mains, has the acting chops and the badassery to pull it off, I think.
She looks like Marvel's version of Audrey Plaza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not seen anything of her, but...
I think she has somewhat a look, too.
The look, yeah. Mm-hmm, that's what I was about to say. So, I'll flip you for it if you're ready, willing, and Gable.
Always ready, willing, and Chad Gable.
Yeah, Shorty G, please. Okay.
Shit, yeah, you're right.
Heads you, tails May. Oh, Bill, I dropped it.
I even heard it through the mic.
And we got a heads.
Ayo, Chloe Bennett.
Chloe Bennett.
Alrighty, what about your Kadaj and your Sephiroth? Now, in the movie, Kadaj and Sephiroth, they look completely different, but Kadaj turns into Sephiroth at the end. Mm-hmm. So I actually went with the same actor for mine, for both.
Oh, yeah?
I just feel like I've seen him in a variety of different roles. I feel like it would be doable to like, just change the length of his hair and some makeup mm-hmm. and make him look different.
See, I had a similar idea, but with Cloud. Cloud and Kadaj being the same.
You
actor.
Oh, they are. I mean, they are. What's it called? So
they're clones of each other, I suppose. So I mean, we can handle Kadaj any way you'd like.
I went with. I'll just say mine. I went with Lee Pace.
Okay.
Mostly known for his work in The Hobbit, and he was Ronan in Guardians of the Galaxy and Captain Marvel for a brief second. If you look at his picture, though, as...
I actually would like him as Sephiroth. That's
not bad. You look at his picture as Thranduil from... from
I just watched The Hobbit the other night.
He's got the long, like, whitish, blondish hair. He looks like Sephiroth. He's even rocking a long sword. It's Sephiroth.
He's a big dude, too. He's tall.
Yeah, I mean, you look at him as Ronan, too. He's a commanding figure. So I felt like Ronan and seeing him as Thranduil, or as Thranduil. Yeah, Thranduil. I haven't watched any of the Hobbit movies. For those of you who don't know, like not a big Lord of the Rings guy. But
also not a real American.
Yeah, true. But I do fight for the right of every man. So I went with Lee Pace to play Kadaj and Sephiroth as well. But do you want Lee Pace to play Sephiroth?
I think I do, because my Sephiroth was Alexander Skarsgård.
Okay.
But I like Lee Pace better.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think Lee Pace would be a good fit for that.
Mm-hmm.
We never used him either.
No.
Never used any of these actors today.
That's true, too, with who I'm going to say next. But I always forget about him, Lee Pace. I like him all right.
Yeah. He's not in a whole lot.
That we've seen, really, no. I'll have Lee Pace as our big bad foe, Sephiroth.
Well, there it is. Who you got for your Cloud and Kadaj, then?
Like I was telling you before we started, I'm not the biggest fan of this actor. I used to be. I also just haven't seen enough of his stuff, but he's got the right look. He's got the right demeanor, I think. And that would be Dane DeHaan.
Dane DeHaan. I know.
He's in Chronicle.
Valerian, right?
Valerian, Care for Wellness, Kill Your Darlings, Place Beyond the Pines.
He's Green Goblin.
Yeah, no, yeah. I bet you noticed I didn't say that movie.
Yeah.
Because I try to forget that it exists. But, yeah, he's kind of has, like, that skinnier, thinner look. He's got that face that kind of looks like Cloud, and it, like I said, in his demeanor. He might be able to pull that off. He does some action stuff, too, as we've seen in some of his or big budgety pictures like Valerian or Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So that was my go for Cloud and
Kadesh. I looked up some like fan castings of Cloud, and people kept listen, Evan Peters. I was like, nah.
Evan Peters, nah.
Yeah, I think they say he has the look, but I don't think, when I think Cloud, I don't think the depressed kid from American Horror Story.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very versatile actor. He is.
I suppose, but I would look at him and be like, that's Quicksilver.
I saw a bunch, too, like Taylor Kish. I'm like, I don't know, that dude's like, he's almost 50 years old, I think.
Yeah. Well, the actor I went with, he's not in a lot. He's been in more. He had a good, like, 2017, 2018, 2019, with a couple bigger things. So most recently he was in an episode of Black Mirror. But then he was in Aquaman. He played Captain Merc, which I haven't seen Aquaman, so I don't know if that's a large role or not. But he was the fucking Black Power Ranger in Power Rangers, Zach. So Liddy Lynn, he's a Canadian actor, but he's an Asian actor as well. And he is the Black Power Ranger in Power Rangers, and I watched some clips of his today from that movie. I'm like, I mean, I know it's not him in the suit because it's CGI fest, but at the same time, he's behind the action. So I was like, I don't know if you're looking at him, but if you look at his IMDb page, he's got kind of a look. He's got the blondish hair. I bet you can do him up like Cloud. So I went with Liddy Lynn for that. So why don't we do this? We'll flip for Kadage first. So either Dane DeHaan or Lee Pace. See who gets the tie, the double actor.
Okay. I was gonna make you a deal, but
what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say I'll give you Liddy Lynn as Cloud if we just do Dane DeHaan as Kadage. I mean,
that's fine with me too. If it's fine with you.
It is fine with me. I just grabbed your little notebook that you keep record of all our characters. I want to try to find Akira. Jesus. I don't even know if I can read half this shit.
I scribble that shit down, dude.
I'm pretty sure we did, or not we did, but I used or maybe asked for your boy there for Akira. I can't remember. This is more just for fun. But, Jesus, when the hell did we do Akira? G.I. Joe, the movie, Terminator, X-Men. We have to get closer. Kill Bill, Akira. Let's see here. So you only wrote down who we picked for that.
Yeah.
Okay. No problem.
Well, we'll do that then. So, for our Final Fantasy VII Advent Children remake, we have our director, Hideki Anno, and Shinji Higuchi, Shiro Segusu, as our composer. We have Sephiroth, played by Lee Pace, Kadage, played by Dane DeHaan, Tifa, played by Chloe Bennett, and Liddy Lynn, playing Cloud. So that is a remake. That was a pretty good one for a video game CGI film, I feel. Usually at this point in the show, we wrap it up and we close it out with a question. However, I'm out of time. I gotta get going, actually. Today.
Got so places to be.
I do. So
I'm spank.
I'm just going to close it out. So if you liked what you heard here today, feel free to check us out over on Audioboom. That's our primary site. That's where we post first. And then they subsequently ship it out everywhere else. So, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at the Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting our new episodes of the show and new details on what we're going to be watching and memes that Gus makes and other things like that. You can also find us on Facebook.
Go to Facebook. You'll find us there, as well as the Geostigma. That's where I like to post memes of what we're watching each and every week, as well as links to what Ben mentioned a moment ago, Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
Indeed. So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. But until next week, brothers.
Brothers,
Brothers. Clone Brothers.